So, how do you feel that November is here?
It feels like a regular month. It don't feel like we're getting into the holiday season, but they throwing them damn things on like it's nothing.
It's the holiday season. The general time of the year.
Exactly what they're playing. We're not even to Thanksgiving yet.
Girl, you know what it is. November 1st is Christmas.
I know.
The 24th of November is Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the 24th day of Christmas, but that's reserved for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. You know, Christmas is the grand finale. Mm-hmm. And then after the party is the after party. You know? That's the new year. That's it. 60 days of turning up, you're not shy. You know, that's what everybody on. Yeah. I got here, I said, damn, can you run it back?
Replay.
Actually, I don't want to replay it this year, but I'll say this.
Yeah, that part.
Quarter one, great. Quarter two and three, beat my ass. And quarter four, here we are. I'm asking the universe to please be gentle on me. If you're going to start the year off great and have me end it on a terrible year, the fuck? You know? Give me some grace.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you right now, April, May, June, July, August, September was stressful. Some of the worst 6 months of my life. Okay? Let me end it on peace. Let me end this year the way I desire to end this. Let this year be peace.
Yes.
Let end this year be peace.
Yes.
Peaceful.
Yes.
And if I had to go through these rough months to get here, I see it. But 2023 better not be this. This better be the layup.
Yes.
That ball better go through December 31st.
The ball better go through the hoop, making sure that I get all my blessings. Rain down on me.
Rain down on me. Yeah. You got rain. You see, because it's rain, but it's ring.
Yeah.
Ring. Like, you know, you ringing a doorbell in this motherfucker.
Like, maybe you shake, you know how dogs shake off the water off them? Mm-hmm. When they get wet? That's how you got to back this.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, with your big ass. You know? That's what Fred and them said. Not Fred. Said. Fred and them said. This is the barbershop. I used to always love how he screamed it. So I used to always wanted to do it on my own. But well, we're just gonna welcome y'all to another episode of the Broke Bougie Podcast. Broke Black Bougie Podcast. Look at me, broke black podcast. Where we create candid conversations for young black women, and it's relatable because we've all been there. Women happen to make it on less than our worth. We do it while setting trends, spreading black asses, and ultimately busting our tails to live our best life. Today, we are talking about something that ain't so quiet. Niggas quitting their job.
Tomorrow is the day.
Okay. Where the blushes is coming in. Wow.
As I exit the beauty.
Okay. Return to Shanda. Return to Key. And today, because there's been so much conversation about folks quiet quitting, we're going to unpack what quiet quitting is. We're going to have a conversation about us quitting in different capacities. How many ways can you quit a job? Well, we're going to tell you today. And really, what are our thoughts? Because I think the way people are looking at quiet quitting, it's no such thing. I'm just doing what's in my job title.
Exactly.
We're going to share.
Exactly.
Today.
Exactly.
All right. So let's get into the politicking segment. The foolishness that I just had to walk through just now. But, you know, we're going to circle back in the wait a minute segment. It's going to be good, right? We're going to focus on this politicking segment as hard as we can. But I got an article to read by Gallup.com, and it's in their workplace section. It was published in September of this year, and it asks, is quiet quitting real? So I wanted to read through the article, talk about what they discussed, and then provide our definition and understanding of quiet quitting, what we think about it, and just segue into how people should be quitting their job. Because you know what? I think today that 2-week notice shit. Let me tell you something. Mm. I ain't even going to give it to them right now. We're just going to hop on that.
Okay.
Is Quiet Quitting Real by Jim Harder. Story highlights. At least half of the U.S. workforce is quiet quitting. The workplace amid the pandemic got worse for young workers. Managers are essential to combating quiet quitting. Quiet quitters make up at least 50% of the U.S. workforce, probably more, Gallup finds. The trend towards quiet quitting, the idea is spreading virally on social media that millions of people are not going above and beyond at work and just meeting their job description could get worse. This is a problem because most jobs today require some level of extra effort to collaborate with coworkers and meet customer needs. U.S. employee engagement took another step backward during the second quarter of 2022, with the proportion of engaged workers remaining at 32%, but the proportion of actively disengaged employees increasing to 18%. The ratio of engaged to actively disengaged employee is now, how do you measure this shit? Hold on. 1.8 to 1, the lowest in almost a decade. The drop in engagement began in the second half of 2021 and was concurrent with the rise in job resignations. Managers, among others, experienced the greatest drop. The overall decline was related to the clarity of expectations, opportunities to learn and grow, feeling cared about, in a connection to the organization's mission or purpose, signaling a growing disconnect between employees and their employers. Many quiet quitters fit Gallup's definition of not being engaged at work. People who do the minimum required are psychologically detached from their job. This describes half of the U.S. workforce. Everyone else is engaged, 32%, or actively disengaged. The latter are loud quitters. Actively disengaged employees tend to have most of their workplace needs unmet and spread their dissatisfaction. They have been the most vocal in TikTok posts and have generated millions of views and comments. Most employees who are not engaged or actively disengaged are already looking for another job. The workplace has gotten worse for young employees. Gallup finds a decline in engagement and employer satisfaction among Gen Z and younger millennials, those below age 35. This is a significant change from pre-pandemic years. Since the pandemic, younger workers have declined significantly in feeling cared about and having opportunities to develop primarily from their manager. These younger employees' advantages have mostly disappeared. The percentage of employees under 35 dropped by 6 percentage points of engaged employees under the age of 65, dropped by 6 percentage points from 2019 to 2022. And during the same time, the percentage of actively disengaged employees increased by 6 points. Younger workers have dropped 10 or more points in the percentage who strongly agree that someone cares about them, someone encourages their development, and they have opportunities to learn and grow. Fully remote and hybrid workers drop 12 points in strong agreement that someone encourages their development. Disturbingly, less than 4 in 10 young remote or hybrid employees clearly know what is expected from them from work. Solving the quiet quitting crisis. It is clear that quiet quitting is a symptom of poor management. First, address manager engagement. Only 1 in 3 managers are engaged at work. Senior leadership needs to reskill managers to win in the new hybrid environment. Managers must learn to have a conversation to help employees reduce disengagement and burnout. Only managers are in a position to know employees as individuals, their life situation, strengths, and goals. Gallup finds the best requirement and habit to develop for successful managers is having meaningful conversations with each team member 15 to 30 minutes per week. And lastly, managers need to create accountability for individual performance, team collaboration, and customer value. And employees must see how their work contributes to the organization's larger purpose. Decisions about where people work, on-site, remote, or hybrid schedule should keep these factors in mind. Importantly, every organization needs a culture in which people are engaged and they feel they belong. Honestly, it's given they did a study didn't announce that in the beginning. And so the statistics that we were reading were based on the study.
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Anywho,
yeah.
What are your thoughts about
that shit went one ear and out the other? I'm not gonna lie. it really went in one ear out the other. I'm not gonna hold you. I literally sat here and looked
over. Wah, 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 wah.
That's what I felt. Wah, 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 wah. Listen, what my definition of this is just you're not saying much of anything. You are telling those who you need to tell about you quitting, and yet you continue on with your job per usual. That's it. No, not everybody is not, you're not, everybody on your unit don't know that you're leaving. Everybody don't need to know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my definition of a quiet exit is.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want all that. No, people, I didn't tell people to the last minute. I told people to like a few days before I even bothered to quit. I'm gone. Tomorrow is the day.
All right.
And you?
I think that the definition of quiet quitting is foolishness. Because the truth is, somebody doing what is within their job description is within their job description. That's not me quiet quitting. I'm doing what you said my job description entails. Going over and beyond is for somebody who wants to build, you know, a long-term relationship. They see progress, if they're able to make progress mm-hmm. happen at a job.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this idea of quiet quitting, people detach from jobs well before they make the decision to quit.
Bingo.
And them doing their job is not quiet quitting. Quiet quitting is, oh, I know I'm going to quit. You don't, but I'm getting out of here.
Tomorrow is the day.
Okay.
Okay, bullshit.
Like, that's what it's giving. And, you know, they talk about the workplace has gotten worse for younger employees, but the truth is the culture of work has always been a tumultuous place for young people. You know, we've seen growing up, elders in our family work jobs that they were dissatisfied with or that were treating them like crap.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what is sad is a lot of folks don't have the ability to, you know, ever be in spaces or have the experience of being at a job that they enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of folks have been working out of survival. Within our generation, we're the first generation of our family, if we could really be transparent, where more of us are pulling into businesses or looking at like different things that we can tap into, being creatives, aside from a standard 9-to-5 or right alongside a standard 9-to-5, right? But it puts into perspective different opportunities for us that are not just tied to places we don't care for.
And not only that, I wanted just to add on to what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are that generation that is not taking the disrespect
mm-hmm.
when it comes to being at a position for a period of time, and we're seeing we're not being valued.
Right.
And when you have individuals who are not being valued, and, or they're having more work placed upon them and they're not getting paid for that work being placed upon them, it becomes tiresome. It creates burnout. And like you said, after a while, you already detached. There's no reason to even try. It's nothing to even try to reconcile, because I've already have been treated this way for however amount of time, and I'm not going to deal with it. Compared to our older generation,
mm-hmm.
those who have, like you said, who have stayed in positions for 20, 30, 40 years and have not been satisfied. It's more so, I was thinking about the conversation that I've had. I don't know if you heard a conversation where young folks don't want to stay in jobs. They don't want to work. It's not that.
That's
it's just the fact that I choose my health. I choose my well-being.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something that is suiting me mentally or physically. So that's why I need to separate from this.
We're learning that we don't have to endure the shit that those within other generations had to endure.
Yes.
And maybe there are people, and this is not to make blanket statements,
right?
Because there are folks who have been like, man, fuck this. I don't care if I'm 65, 55. I'm not staying in a job that don't make me happy. There are people who have upped and moved,
mm-hmm.
right? But we've seen people work through trauma instead of ending it or pushing back on the shit that they've received.
Yes.
And I think when we got into work, we saw the difference between wanting to be in a career and make money, and also seeing how, you know, once you get to a certain place and you see that there are flaws in a job, every job is going to have its own flaws. Correct. But there are some places that are more tumultuous than others.
Yeah.
And it's okay to let go.
Right.
If there's anything that I learned working since the age of 16, is I've been in different industries and I've seen the most toxic of the toxic work environments. Mm-hmm. And what it's like to be able to advocate for yourself on the opposite side when you have more wiggle room, or you're in a role that allows you the flexibility to be at ease.
Right.
And that's not something that a lot of people get. They don't get in their later 20s. Folks don't get when they first start working, mm-hmm. you know, well into their early 20s. Some people don't even get to have these experiences when they're 30, 35. Mm-hmm. And they're well into their careers. Mm-hmm. And so the conversation that we need to have is, when someone gets to a point where they're ready to let go of a job, how should they quit?
Right.
Because all of these think pieces are floating up on the internet about what quiet quitting is and how people define what it means to be a quiet quitter. And I guess my question for us is, in what ways have we let go of a job, or has a job let go of us?
I told you. I told my boss, I sent my boss a resignation 2 weeks prior. She was the only person I told. I had a coworker who I was very, very close with, who I consider a sister. She knew that I was about to be out.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else found out 2-3 days before on one of the units that I worked on.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I told those who I worked with closely, I'm about to be out. That was that. My normal routine was being done like it should have been done. I didn't go above and beyond. I kept my same routine with doing my work. That's what I did. People didn't know that I left and I got out of there without seeing anybody on my main unit. I left a small, lovely car because it was around the holiday season. I said, you know, I left a small car.
Yo, I hate you, bro.
That was my quiet exit. What this piece was talking about, I have no idea. But that's what I mean. Nobody needs to know all your business. I don't need to have a party showing that I'm leaving. No, I'm gone. When you see the next week that I'm not there, I'm not on vacation. I'm out of there. I'm really gone.
It makes me think about, I was like, damn, girl, you done left a job a lot.
Is that a bad thing?
It's not a bad thing. But I think for me, I know when it's my time to leave a place.
You feel it.
Or when things are not right.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm accepting things out of survival.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got into work, my very first time quitting a job position was when I gave up a graduate assistant opportunity for getting a fellowship opportunity in policy.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, I don't know what it was, but I needed to work at that fellowship in order to get the understanding that I needed to advance in policy, because I found a passion that I wanted to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And when I quit, the treatment that I received from the two directors who were essentially leading me or training me, it was just like, well, we could have hired somebody else if you were going to do a fellowship. And it was like, no, that's not the way you need to talk to me. You don't need to hire somebody else. Like, a lot of us have to make moves out of survival. And it's okay to work at places temporarily,
mm-hmm.
even if you don't have all of the type of cushion that you need for yourself, mm-hmm. or an emergency fund that you need for yourself, because that's the whole purpose of working, to mm-hmm. take care of you and also earned labor. As long as I am transacting my labor for coins,
mm-hmm.
It should not matter what is my purpose for showing up.
Right.
But when you're talking to a Black woman about the decisions that she's making, it just didn't make any sense. And that made me feel bad. It made me feel so bad. I did not want to have a luncheon with our director and another young Black graduate who was in the business school at the time, who was working, because he was ending on great terms with them, right? I was not ending on great terms with them. And I felt extremely uncomfortable by how my decision to walk away from the position was a problem. And I'm glad I made that decision, because it ultimately led me to meet people that I needed to meet people who have become forever a part, God willing, of my life. You know, I met really, really cool individuals through just that one decision.
Right.
But it would come to a point where I would have to quit again, right? Because I was working for a nonprofit that was extremely violent towards the Black women who was working for that organization. Mm-hmm. And a lot of folks don't feel comfortable talking about it, but I talk about it comfortably because I know that that place doesn't hold power over me anymore. It was hard to work in that establishment and have someone tell you that you were only worth $45,000, or that you weren't able to have a certain leadership role, or that in the next 5 years, I could really see you growing at this organization, or we're all a family. All of the buzzwords that people use to say, hey, you belong here, but I'm not going to treat you like I value you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we call this day the staff apocalypse, because it happened in the summertime in July. We were in Calicoon, New York, which is a place that no Black person should be. Okay. And while we were sitting here, and I shared this story before on BBB, but as we were sitting here and we were planning our political agenda for the next month, because we were working not only in policy, but we were doing a lot of legislative work.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were planning for that, there were just a lot of uncomfortable things that were happening that came to a head that we needed to talk about as an organization. And it led to them yelling at us, telling us that they weren't having, this is not a Black nationalist organization. If you don't like how this organization is ran, you can get the fuck out. Like, threatening people with poverty, Black women, right, with poverty, by just telling them that, oh, you could da 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 da. And I was like, I never want nobody to be able to take some shit from me or feel like that this is some place that I need to be. I was like, I'm worth more than this whack ass salary that y'all paying me. There's poverty fucking wages, and I deserve more. I was like, I'm young, I don't have to be here. And I quit. Before quitting that job, I already knew after the day after that, that I was going to depart, you know? And what was interesting about that experience was when shit popped off at our staff apocalypse, we also did not get the support that we needed from our managers for mm-hmm. when things went down.
Mm-hmm.
So we intentionally took time off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found myself getting sick. I got sick in a way that I never got sick before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yo, your work environment is affecting your health. You gotta let this go. I almost had to have surgery during that season of my life. And I remember getting into an Uber, having to sit sideways going to an a interview, because I was down so bad. And I walked into that interview and the council told me, they were like, you're hired. You're actually the top pick and you can start whenever you want to start. And I was like, can I start in September? Can I start in September, the final week, so I could at least collect this check? Because I knew that they were going to be on lag pay. And the council was like, yes. Started that position. That position was even worse. And what made it so worse was, like, when you're in a racial justice organization, you can call out white supremacy. You can call out the way white people are being violent, right? But in this organization, you're working for the government. The government as an institution has always been a barrier for the economic and social improvement of Black people, right? If we're talking about the socio-political economic improvement of Black lives, has in some way, shape, or form been challenged by the way white supremacy has showed up within the institution of the government at all levels, right? And so you're in this place that has historically been anti-Black, and you see things that are microaggressions, that are macroaggressions, and you can't really push back. You could talk amongst the black people you work with because they know this shit ain't right. You could say some slick shit on the side, but your mental health is being affected. And the role that I was working for that org was 6 months out of the year. I couldn't travel. I couldn't do anything. It was that strict. You couldn't take a vacation. You couldn't do anything. You would have to show up some days on a session day, probably like 8 o'clock, when there were clearly other people showing up later than that, sometimes 10 o'clock. I'm like, oh, you stealing money from the gov, but you able to do this, but I can't. You know what I'm saying? It was just a lot of things that were frustrating. And when I decided to let go of that job, in a sense, people can define that as quiet quitting, but spiritually, I was gone. Spiritually, I would walk into work and feel the energy of that room be different. When I first started, who I was not who I was when I left that organization. My last week, I didn't really care. I was sitting there doing work. My last day, I was ready to leave out early, you know. I had built solid relationships with other black analysts, you know, who we are still tight to this day because we went through some shit. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just us as young black people who were working in government. We were also seeing other black people come in, work for the legislature, and be cycled out or cycle themselves out because it was such a toxic place to work. Mm-hmm. And so that experience taught me a lot ultimately. And when my colleague, who we started in the same year, we started in 2019, when he made the decision that he was leaving and found a new job opportunity and spoke to me and the other black analyst who was there, it lit a fire under my ass. Like, we got to go too. We don't know who's coming in here. I done seen 3 to 4 people cycle into these jobs, you know, since being in this space. And this is just not a comfortable space. Because when I was there, when I started, I was the only black person. Then he came. One of the individuals decided that they wanted to up and leave. They said, this is not equitable here. I had a conversation with you. I wanted you to know that the conversation that I had with you really put into perspective what I deserve as a young woman, and I'm out of here. The woman that I was talking to was like 26, 27 at the time. She dipped out. She's indigenous. She was like, this is not an equitable place for me. She was like, you know, I hope this experience is different for you. I don't know if it will be, but you deserve to leave as well. I said, I just started in this motherfucker. You the first person I see that go? And me and her were really connected, you know, because she was doing a lot of social justice work as well. And we would have like lunch dates outside of the office. And so when she transitioned, I said, oh, nah. Then my bro came, you know. And then one of my big sis, mentor, came into the role, was making damn near 6 figures in another department, came, took a pay cut, but wanted to do the work. She was passionate about it. She was like, what I signed up for and what this is not it. She left. I was like, that's the second person to go. Then we get another absolutely amazing sister in my life to this day in that role. When my homeboy decided that he wanted to up and leave in 2021, I said, oh, I didn't think he would be the first to go. He left. I said, nah, we started at the same time. It's time for me to go because I don't know who the hell is coming in here, but I can't keep dealing with the transitions and trying to see, you know, I could work with this person on this project. Let's work on this person. We know we're going to cycle out who works with this person on this particular document. Like, you know, we were helping each other survive that environment. And I felt like when he left, it wasn't going to be a safe space anymore for the other two last black people who were there. Mm-hmm. So once he left, I found a new opportunity and I left. I interviewed for multiple places. There were 2 jobs I could have held down at the same time, and I did it when I got my opportunity. So I ended up quitting that job. And I remember when I left, I had a long conversation with my sis. We still communicate to this day. My direct boss knew that I was leaving, and we had a group chat where we communicated with work. I completely left that chat when it was time for me to that evening and didn't say goodbye, didn't say anything, because I don't owe anyone anything.
No, you don't.
And I think that's what people have to remember. As a person who is a part of a team who did not feel welcome, who faced a lot of issues, there's a certain way we can choose to exit. And me choosing not to share space with folks, to remove myself from certain folks, to not talk about certain folks, was a way that I was getting my peace back. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the last job I quit. See, the job I had started directly after leaving that position was working for a think tank that was based in New York City, but also had an office in Albs. And I knew when I first started there, I said, shit, I can't do this. I knew it. Mm-hmm. I had my own office, my own laptop. I had, my name on the wall as a research associate. You know what I'm saying? Ooh, we about to prepare for a big ass conference. I got to get my suit together. I'm going to have to be traveling to New York City about, maybe 8 times a year. It was a vibe, right? And I got into those meetings. Not only was I the only Black person there, but the environment was very discomforting for me.
Explain.
People were looking at me crazy when I would speak. People were like, you fuck up your bag for a look. No, I ain't fuck up a bag for a look. I got a better bag. Hold on to the story now. We were doing hybrid, but they were not very transparent on the days in which we were going home and working from the office. And so I remember being scolded because the days in which I was home, I wasn't supposed to be home that day, but I started on a day where it was like every other day, and I was like, you scolded me for something that is just so... We're still in a pandemic. Like, I work across the street. It's never that big of a deal. I work directly across the street from my apartment. My apartment was located directly across the street from the building that I worked in. I could just walk across the street. It wasn't that, and I work downtown. So it was just kind of like, oh, this is normal, going across the street.
So what was said to you?
It was just like, you need to inform me when you're working from home on days that are not our standard hybrid days. I was like, well, y'all wasn't really transparent on the policy. And I was informed that it was like every other day. Like, I'm over here looking like I'm across the street. It don't even take me 5 minutes to get across the street to come to work. What's going on? Mm-hmm. An opportunity that I had got to work for an organization that I was really passionate about. I was just waiting to hear back from them. They told me I got the job. They called me. They was like, yo, we want to offer you the job. I said, no kidding. I was like, I just got a job. Now, if I stayed and worked at both of those places and played it calm, I would have made $144,000 a year. I didn't give a fuck about keeping the job that I just had. I was just hired for the job. I didn't care about it. And the reason why I didn't care about it as much is because I knew that that wasn't the environment that spiritually I felt like I was supposed to be in. So, I quit. I started the last week of July. And August 6th, I turned in my resignation. And so folks was like, I said, this resignation is effective immediately. It wasn't no 2 weeks notice. Because I finished the project that I was working on, which was a research-based project about financing, legislative bills or whatever. But I was like, I'm not doing this. Mm-hmm. Because I can choose the way happiness looks in my life. I don't have to stay in a place that don't feel comfortable, that don't feel safe for me. I know that there are other opportunities. I may not have much, but I know that at the end of August, I was supposed to get paid, you know, back money that was owed to me. Like, I was like, I'm not dealing with this shit. I don't have to. Was it a struggle month? It was one of the worst struggle months I've ever had to experience in my entire life. Absolutely it was. But I did what the fuck I needed to do. And I think when people look at this quiet quitting shit, sometimes we in places that we choose out of survival. I got a week check out of it. They paid me only like $1,800. That shit wasn't much, you know, compared to what I was supposed to be receiving in my standard salary check. I checked the deuces on their asses.
And I think, too, these orgs that we work for, they don't realize we are not a body that is, how would I put this? A body that is permanently here planted.
Yeah.
If we decide to work here for a period of time, great, where we are able to grow and to branch off into different areas within this org, that is our right as an employee to do that. If we are not feeling we are valued, or our opinions or our thoughts or whatever the case may be when it comes to us being a team member is appreciated, we have every right to walk away.
If I die, you're going to replace me. You might mourn us.
But yeah, you have to fill that space anyway.
You're going to, man.
And the cycle continues.
You don't mourn us. In 2 days, y'all have a help wanted sign. You know?
And everything that you explained, you was choosing your own happiness, more so your mental well-being and your physical well-being, okay? You as a whole person. Mm-hmm. If I know spiritually I am dead inside when I'm coming in here, I cannot be here. I cannot operate at the capacity that you would expect me to operate because I'm not feeling the environment that I'm working in.
No use to you, no use to me.
No use to, exactly. Like you said, when you left that previous job, and you were not the same individual when you started compared to when you left.
It was la, 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 la.
That's how I was when I left my employer in 2020.
Yeah.
It was to the point where it was beyond, when you first start, you have this type of...
La, 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 la.
Exactly, exactly. Ezel moment. Like, you just care less, you have a carefree spirit.
God bless them,
you know? Mm-hmm. But it's like, after a while, you start to see the bullshit. And then it gets worse. And then it gets worse. But then they expect you to operate at the same capacity, knowing that you see the bullshit that exists.
And they're not willing to improve the conditions of the work environment. That's the issue.
Only when they see you exit, there's an initiative to now try to keep you.
If you are a individual who they see as worthy, there's one or two things that happen. Mm-hmm. When you decide that you want to leave, they either beef up and try to not get you to quit, or they'll be like, oh, you know, I'm saddened, but I understand, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of folks who are valuable, some people don't even know it until they decide that they put in a resignation letter and that they're letting go of an organization. You would have never known that these people actually valued you, cared about you, all of that, because they allowed you to pick up the baggage of their organization and didn't care when you were being birthed out that you were overworked, that, you know, didn't do anything for you. They didn't give a fuck. And when you decide to leave, it creates more harm and turmoil on their end for them to, I'm not even going to say harm, it creates more stress on their end. It's like, no, what can we do to keep you? What you can do to keep me was what you should have done when you got me.
When you had me.
People got to think about it. This is a relationship, whether you like it or not. And I don't stay in abusive relationships.
And I cannot be giving you 100% in this relationship and you're giving me zero.
Zero. I can't pull the weight.
I can't pull the weight. Or I'm giving you 90 and you're only giving me 10. Hell, I'm only giving you 90. I'm giving you 95. You're only giving me 5.
Okay.
Make this make sense.
It doesn't.
Because the scale is tipping all the way on my end.
Okay.
It ain't nowhere near touching what the fuck you doing.
In circles.
So.
Round and round and round.
Have you ever, I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Have you ever had one of your employers try to keep you after realizing you were exiting?
Yes. It happened at the social justice nonprofit. I was already on my way out. Mm-hmm. And that was the only time I broke down. People tell you, you're not the broke down. You'll never let the motherfucker see you sweat. Now, I broke the fuck down. Because I said, I don't know what this is. But I ain't signed up for this. You know, I didn't sign up for this. And I didn't have a bad relationship with my direct supervisor. He wasn't necessarily the problem. He was extremely protective of me. And I remember him telling me, he was like, yo, you are so good with, like, doing these graphics. When I started, I was trash. So he was like, I can see you, like, having your own shit later on. Like, for real. Because he's like, you're really nice. I just want you to get the, he wanted me to get Adobe Illustrator and what's the other one? All the professional graphic design tools, he wanted me to just stay working with that.
He pouring life into you.
Pouring it into me, right? Because he was like, yo, you could really do great work. He's like, I'm not joking. Like, outside of just Canva. And people give Canva a bad rep. But he was very right. It's something that I'm passionate about and I like to do. I like to put words and graphics and things together. But I know that professionally, even beyond Canva, having those skills are so crucial in order for you to be able to really get that good work that'll pay you a bag, you know? And so when all of this was going on, he had a conversation with me. He was like, what can we do? And I quit before I was having, like, my my review of them. What was it? It was like your 30-day review. Not 30 or 30, was it 30-day review? Or it was like your 2-month review. You've been with the organization for this long. We review how you've been faring with the organization. And you're off of, essentially, probation. Mm-hmm. Kind of like that. And I was like, for a racial justice organization, this is a little weird. But we're going to let it rock, right? I didn't decide to have that meeting with them. They wanted me to. I said, no, because y'all going to try to convince me to stay. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to do that. And the conversation I had with him, that's what he wanted. I didn't feel comfortable with that. Because I have a master's degree. Had experience in policy. Just came from the legislature in 2018. Started with y'all in 2019. You start me at 45. Another person who I was working with in my department was making 55. There were other people who were making 55 that did not have
the experience that you
the
had.
The experience and skills that I had. I said, oh, nah, this fucking credentialism is a lie like a motherfucker. I said, oh, nah. And when they found out that I was making closer to 70, it became, oh, well, we won't be able to pay you that much, but we could pay you a little bit more. Oh, you can now? You got an extra 10, 15 that you could pay me right now?
Where was that when I first started?
Where was that when I first started? See, people sometimes do what you allow them to. Mm-hmm. Or do what they think that they can do. And this even goes for people who serve in leadership. And these power dynamics don't serve anyone.
Right.
It's despicable. But what I learned from that is if someone is trying to get me to stay at an organization and now you're giving me more benefits to stay, it's a red flag. It's a big ass red flag because you're telling me all along that you could have just given me what I needed to make work be easier for me and the work environment be better for my needs.
This is what I asked you from the beginning.
Yeah.
Basically what you're saying, I asked you for this incentive at the very beginning, before I even begin to work. Because mm-hmm. I told you I came with the experience. Mm-hmm. This is what my value was at that moment. You wasn't willing to give that to me.
Right.
And survival of the fittest, of course. You're trying to survive taking the position. But yeah, realizing it's still not benefiting you mm-hmm. to the capacity that it should be benefiting you. Mm-hmm. And when you finally decide to leave, oh, now, like you said, oh, now you got that $15,000 in your pocket somewhere that I asked you for at the very beginning.
It was here all along.
But you told me it wasn't available to me. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm seeing that people who don't even have the experience that I have is making way more than me.
Make it make sense. It don't make sense.
So it don't add up.
Sense,
somehow,
can't get my spirit.
From the 2+2, you getting 15 and I'm getting 4.
Hell, I'm barely getting 2.
But it makes you think, like, why this energy now?
So, since you asked me the question, what was your experience?
It was funny. On my very last day, it was hilarious. My day was smooth. I was doing my work. I was up front at the desk with one of my coworkers who to this day, I'm very close with her. We're like sisters. I called her my sis, my big sis.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking. We were going over some things, watching this video through our competencies, whatever have you. And one of the charge nurses came around to the desk. And I wonder why she was lingering for a period of time. She came from upstairs, from our main unit.
Ooh.
Came down, had this note in her hand, and said, "Latoya, I was told to show this to you." So I got this message from my boss that was given to the charge nurse to give to me. And I'm like, "So what is this?" "I don't know. I was just told to give it to you. I looked at it. I didn't say nothing. I said, "Okay." I kept going on back to what I was doing with my coworker, watching the video, whatever have you. Because at that moment, I'm like, "Y'all already know I'm about to leave."
Right.
Now you're trying to offer me something where you know what I'm looking. I'm already locked into something. Now all of a sudden, you're trying to compete with keeping me here.
When you could have done that. When that could have
been done way before.
Don't wait till last minute. Give people what they need.
Now, granted, you know, with everything that went down with the pandemic, there was a lot of stress on me.
Yeah, you told me.
You're operating in a space where the individuals who you're coming across, you are dealing with sicker patients. Mm-hmm. You are taking on a whole lot more than what was expected of you previously, before everything took place with this COVID situation. So we were short staffed. A lot of work was placed on myself as well as some other individuals, which was so effed up within its own self, because we were left hanging some days with not having the necessary backup that we needed. And every time we were asking for backup, there was an issue. When they were having team meetings up on our main unit, we weren't getting those shifts like we're supposed to be getting on our unit on the ground floor. There was 2 different units. One that was for pre-op and the day of surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot that was happening with us. There was a lot that we were seeing. It was creating burnout. And I felt the org as a whole was fucking up.
Service, yep.
And yet on our unit, those who were in leadership were really messing up. So, like I said, today is the day. The manager came down. And I wondered also why she was lingering around. I was doing my job, whatever have you, but I felt that she was lingering around me for too long and it felt awkward.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the back of our department and all of a sudden she tells me it's just her and I in the back. Did you see the note? I said, "Yeah." She said, "So what do you think?" I said, "As of right now, I'm already locked into something that I've already committed to giving them a yes. That I'm coming to their, I'm already locked into something." That's to the extent of what I told her.
Yeah.
She goes, "You know, we can't afford to lose you. You're such a huge asset to this department."
"But you're not treating me as an asset. Not only are you not treating me as an asset, you wait until I'm on bended knee and ready to leave."
Mm-hmm.
"To tell me"
mm-hmm.
"that I'm an asset and we can't afford to lose you, but you also can't afford to keep me."
No.
And it is being shown by not only how you're showing up.
Right.
But how you are violently.
Right.
Allowing certain things to happen.
To happen, yes.
That has me, "I'm gonna walk away
from it all.
I'ma walk away. I'ma walk away.
And I'm tomorrow
is the day. Tomorrow is the day." It's not that I don't love you. But this job got me through. Okay? Period. Breaks my body.
It put a strain on my body.
Okay.
That so I just can't stand.
I'm leaving. Yes, I am. Gonna walk away from it all. Before this job. That motherfucker said, breaks my heart. Oh, baby.
But it got to the point where a lot of us were feeling that strain. For those of us who were more than you and that. Yeah, I can't. That shit stuck in my head now. We something else, yo. Who were on that unit for such a long period of time. We weren't feeling valued. So when she said that, and I said, well, at this moment, I don't know what to tell you. Like, my hands are full with what I'm already looking into. And granted, I literally received a raise as well as up the ladder move. I don't know how to say it.
A title move
for my position.
But you
and
see,
it was recent, and I didn't give a fuck. I didn't care about it.
Of course you didn't care about it, because it came late. And so what? You're going to move me up, and I'm going to deal with more of this shit, and then I'm going to have to take care. Why wait till I leave? And the thing that gets me about your story, she ain't going to shave, but I'm going to tell y'all. She tried to leave before, and they wouldn't allow her to go to any other department.
I was being blocked. I felt like I was being blocked.
You were being blocked.
Because when you
can't afford to leave you. Because
when you're putting in for another position in the organization,
mm-hmm.
your employer is automatic. Your manager is automatically.
They're notified.
Notified.
Nope, she's not leaving.
And yet, I'm like, okay, so how is it that I'm not being able to leave?
Dance. I know I got the credentials.
And like, niggas that knew me, like, Toy, you being blocked. I'm like, I know I'm being fucking blocked.
To the point where it was.
Let me tell you what's so funny. One of our coworkers before he left. He had us in tears laughing at this shit. This nigga applied for I don't know how many fucking jobs within the organization. Every last one of the bitches was fucking denied. And he said, this is some bullshit. I got the credentials. I know what the fuck I've been. I've been in this organization for how long? And yet you tell me I don't qualify for this shit. I mean fucking blocked.
And
I know this.
And that's even problematic that they allow your manager to see that.
Exactly. Very problematic. You're creating intimidation.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. I'm still going to show you. Yep.
I'm trying to leave, bitch.
You see the time frame? Boom.
Like so, a shonic. Boom, boom.
But he
boom.
Had us in tears laughing. That was like months before he...
So he left the organization completely.
He left the hospital, but went to an offsite.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
So, but I was glad that he was able to find something eventually after all the denials.
All those denials.
God still had door open for him to go this place.
Uh-huh, period.
But
One window.
It's like, yeah, you can give me this and that and third, but yeah, if you haven't acknowledged my worth and how hard I've been working from the gate.
Yes, I am.
I'm gonna walk away from it all.
Walk away from it all.
Before this job breaks my heart. I'm gonna walk away from it all.
I'ma walk away.
Gotta be today.
You should walk away. For real. Because they got to be out of their rapid ass mind to think that a motherfucker going to stay in a role that makes my life unhappy.
And when I come home...
We doing the choosing around this motherfucker.
When I come home, my black ass ain't happy.
No.
And I get up in the morning and I'm fucking angry. I got to go into the workplace that is not a healthy environment that I want to be in.
During the pandemic, when other folks were working consistently from home, my employer had us tiptoeing back and forth. Had us being exposed to COVID-19. Doing travel work. It was just a very uncomfortable situation, scenario, thing to have to go through. The politics of the workplace was just not it. And I remember when I got a taste of what remote work was, and I said, I mean, I had experienced it in some capacity before, earlier, like in one of my internships, but this was just different. I said, and we got to return back? Shit. Y'all got the game fucked up. I understand y'all got these buildings and shit, and y'all paying rent on this motherfucker, but something got to give. You know, I just felt like, I mean, a lot of things were happening that just did not rub my spirit the right way.
I was angry when you were telling me about the situation.
I was angry as well.
I was very furious. I said, I understand to an extent as to why I'm working, because I have to based upon my profession.
As an essential worker, but we were not essential.
You guys.
No, motherfucking bagged us.
This was not volunteer work. This was voluntold. Mm-hmm. You were told to do this. Mm-hmm. This was a requirement of you. This is not volunteer work. That was bullshit. You were
being threatened. The language that was being used. It was bad, man. And I think about it to this day. It all happened for a reason, but it made me recognize that nobody should have to go through this. Work shouldn't be this hard. No. You know, when we watch like old school television shows and people talk about how they get off work and da 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 da, like certain things should be just separate from work at home. But I felt like with that job in particular, a lot of things were brought back to my home.
We're crossing boundaries.
And I remember I would just flinch if I even got a signal message, a call, you know, like a lot of the conversations I had with folks during that time was all about work. My therapy sessions, 10 out of 10, all about work. I ain't had no life, man. And then going through that and being underpaid, baby, I was broke. I was making money, but I was broke. I was eating everything away. Literally, just eating my thoughts and my emotions and everything away. I was gaining mad fucking weight. I was super depressed. That job really put something on me.
And I think too, at that time where you were they were telling you to travel, they weren't giving you any other incentive to travel, like, you know, paying for your trip to go to whatever destination, mm-hmm. paying for your expensive, like if you needed a car, carpool, whatever.
It was carpool. You'll have to be stationed around locations around, you know, it was just so many assumptions made. That's mm-hmm. the better word. It was a lot of assumptions that were made about what people had access to, if they were abled mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. go and travel. You know, people have home things that they have to navigate. People have disabilities that are not visible. You know, it was just a lot. My greatest sense of peace was leaving that job.
I was happy when you left. Hell, I was happy when I left.
Shit, I was happy when you left too. I think the moral to the story here is, if something is no longer serving you, you need to figure out how you can make room for what can. And sometimes that is letting go of people, places, things, jobs, job titles. And something that's really important, especially for youngins, who find themselves in situations like they're, you know, they want to quit. There's more opportunity. I got fired before. There's more opportunity. I quit a food service job before. There's more opportunity. Any place you leave, there will always be greater opportunity in store for you. You just have to believe it and know that something else is going to come around that is better for you. But staying in the place that you are in is going to do a disservice to where you need to be and what you deserve. Sometimes you got to put that one foot in front of the other. Yes, Christmas card motherfucking tunes in this motherfucker.
Yeah. And I always said too, you know, I always said this, sometimes God will make your position uncomfortable for you to move.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because you know it's not benefiting you.
Oh, yeah. Make you mad. You be like, damn, shit, what the fuck I did? Nigga, the universe is shit and get up and go, go.
Go, 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 go. And on the count of three, go, go.
They tell you to go. Tell me where to go. They telling you, motherfucker, to go.
Listen, at the end of that song, go, we come to the end.
What?
You listen to Go Again. At the actual video.
Carmen?
Yes.
Yeah, well, watch the actual video. I remember that shit being on the...
Go, Lord Jesus.
I'll do that later.
Watch the video.
I'm going to watch the video.
Damn.
Man, I don't remember hearing that.
Damn, nigga. It's on the video.
Well, you know, I haven't seen videos in such a long time. I mean, the world that we live in today isn't really, you know...
I still watch videos.
Very, very music video based.
I still watch music videos.
I mean, yes, but, you know, it's just not really based on... Yeah. But moral to the story is, figure it out. Another big piece of advice. I've been someone who has quit jobs when I had enough money stacked. I've also been an individual who has quit a job when I didn't have much stack. And I tell you one thing, another job will come, regardless. But I think in these days and time, because of inflation, because of everything that is happening with the economy, it's super important for someone to have a cushion. Mm-hmm. If you do not have a cushion, be cautious of how you set up your let go. Okay? Because you don't want to be a person that has to wait to the end of the month to get a paycheck, or you don't got no job lined up, but you also don't got enough money to stretch for the duration of time that it takes you to make another, layup for yourself to get another position. You know, five bands ain't enough anymore nowadays. It just ain't, you know? And so it's so important to make sure you have more wiggle room for yourself. That should always be prioritized.
And also to just realize when it comes to a quiet exit, that's exactly what it means, a quiet exit. You don't have to tell everybody about you leaving.
You do it what's within your job description. It's okay. That's what's in your job description.
I remember somebody asking me that question. Why are you leaving when you've almost at 10 years? And I told her just like this. She was a new nurse. I said, because right now it's my choice to do that. Oh, I respect that. Yeah. It has nothing to do with where I'm leaving.
Girl,
mind your business.
A decade here.
Why does it matter?
Time. It's not about time.
It's not about time.
It's not about time. It's about, you know what you really made it is when you have leisure.
Bingo.
Spending 10 years here at this job being stressed out, did it give me leisure?
None of the above.
So guess what I gotta do? I gotta get mine. You gotta get yours. Mind your business.
Mind your business.
I think we've wrapped up this conversation.
Yes.
We could segue into, wait a minute.
Yes.
So, instead of doing a wait a minute about what we've been looking at on TV, we could do a wait a minute and think about funny moments that have had us take a step back in the places in which we've worked. Okay. Toya is already, if y'all can see this right now, laid out. She can't even get out what she is about to talk about, say. I don't even know what's on her mind, y'all. Girl is laid out before we even got an opportunity to talk about what we, take a pause and we've been reflecting on. Just cool, fun work memories that we've had in the places that we've passed. So, do you want me to go? All right. Shout out to BPG. Y'all know who y'all are. Y'all know what it is. And, we were a group of analysts, a very small group, a line, a diagonal line. Being three black analysts who'd work with each other from essentially like 2019 to 2021. And we built a community with each other. And very grateful for the two of them. I was the third one. And at one time, it was another Black woman. And it was just three of us at the time. But BPG, in many different variations, became what we know it as today, right? We still have group chats. We still cackle, be kikiing and shit. And randomly thinking of shit that we went through at work and how we missed each other. Boy, it was, that was the time. But one of my great memories, and maybe go, wait a minute. I remember when Brother Man was leaving his last day at work. Like, it was around the last week when he was leaving, and we was all celebrating because he's like, I'm getting the fuck up out of here. We were like, we know, nigga, like, celebrations. We would always meet in the break room on some low shit. Like, if we needed to have some Black people time together, we would just get out of the work environment and be like, fuck, I don't know what you're going. Like, okay, we about to walk the tunnel. We about to go to Dunkin' Donuts. Who going to Dunkin' Donuts? Who going to meet me over for lunch? Like, we would do little shit like that. But this time around, we met in the break room. And it was a long day. It was like a long session day. Session was going past 6 o'clock. We said, damn it, we're going to be here till about 7, 8. It was just a lot. And we just made the break room our hub. Sometimes I would do workout in the break room because I needed different lighting. Mm-hmm. So I would go outside and do work in the break room. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care to do that at my desk. And, you know, other folks would also do the same. They need to have a phone conversation or whatever. They would be out in there. All three of the niggas is in the break room. So our white co-workers are passing us like, you guys are going to come in? We're like, no. And every time they would pass us, they would sometimes try to come in and, like, have a conversation with us. But we would be in the break room, so we'd be like, all right, let's get back to work. But it was like, we is at work in the break room. We was showing ass. We was nigging like a motherfucker. We was dying laughing so hard. You could hear that shit all the way from across the actual office.
I fucking love it.
Okay, because we was just nigging. I said, oh. Then we made jokes like, these motherfuckers like, yeah, we can't wait for them to get their asses out too, because like, what the fuck is going on? So we would have conversations, like politicking conversations in the work office. But this time around, it was just really special because it was just all three of y'all. You know, it was just all of us in the break room having a conversation, some Black nigga shit, and nobody else was included this time. We didn't want to include y'all. Y'all be kicking all the time. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, no, it wasn't about y'all this time. It was about us and our brother who's leaving this motherfucking place.
Right.
And we about to get on up, and leave behind his ass. But a really special moment. My other special moment, I gotta tell it. BPG, hold it down. One day we decided to go to a Mexican restaurant. We got pissed off because someone in our office who serves as a director said some anti-Black shit. And I think it was something to the extent of, yeah, the cops are not even bothering just Black people anymore. Like, they're bothering me while I was canvassing while white. That shit made us so upset. I got up. I went downstairs. I remember I called you. Mm-hmm. And Mom, I'm going to fuck off. I can't believe this motherfucker going to sit up here and say, I said, I ain't talking about his shit. His ass should know this at his big ass age. That shit ain't even, that ain't no fucking thing. That don't even exist. You was canvassing, nigga. Talking about some canvassing, we're all right. You was canvassing. Anybody was attacking you because you was white and canvassing? That's nigga shit. I was mad.
If I couldn't fucking see you, Otis.
Period. I'm going to fuck off. We got to that Mexican restaurant, had about a 2-hour, 30-minute lunch.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. Came back with drinks. We came back with drinks and that motherfucker. Finally, that's a motherfucker. I've been in fucking elevator on the ride up, dying, laughing. They like, yo, you got it. I couldn't get it together. Damn near stumbled to my seat. Dying, laughing so hard. because it definitely gave away that we were all meeting up together. We're all in this together. Here we are, drunk as hell, coming back to the races. Wildcat! And I'm gonna just let it go, but BPG, love you.
Not you.
Go ahead.
So, now we admit it's stupid, okay?
I don't think it's stupid.
A few days ago, we ended up getting Panera.
Yes.
I got myself a nice full tuna sandwich. She got herself a nice vegetarian sandwich.
Mediterranean.
Veggie. That's what it was. And if my mom got the white cheddar with steak. The steak with white cheddar, right? Mm-hmm. And I realized before I opened my package, I smelled like a dill pickle smell, which I love pickles, right? Now, not realizing, it went over my head. Because Charlie goes, they give each sandwich a pickle. I didn't hear they give each sandwich a pickle. I just heard it. Yeah, they give a pickle. Because I saw her eat her pickle. So
Very important.
Now, hold on to that, people. Hold on to that. So, as I'm eating my sandwich, I'm like, wow, they did a good job with infusing, you know, the dickle pills. dill pickle. In my sandwich. I said, oh wow, they did a good job with making sure that I got that dill pickle smell on my sandwich. I'm like, wow, I can taste the dill pickle. So I eat a half of my sandwich, right? Next day I got work. So I take the half of the sandwich with me to work with some chips and whatever else, something to drink. Bet. All right. I get to the break room. I'm like, man, they did a good job with this sandwich. It's just so delicious. Like, yo, this, I don't know how they made sure that the tuna had the dill pickle smell to it. They must have added some juice. I'm thinking too much thought into this shit. As I'm unraveling my package from my other portion of my sandwich.
Damn shame.
I happen to see the pickle in the wrapper, that's part of the sandwich. I said, wait a minute. So this whole entire time, I'm smoking.
The dill pickle.
The dill pickle. The pickle juice all in your sandwich. It's an actual pickle.
She's a dumbass. Next time, y'all. She can't even finish it.
Pickle in the sandwich. Bro, I started dying. I said, yo, this whole entire time, I thought that the dill pickles.
Dear sir, there are tears coming out of her eyes at this point. I've had enough. More to the story is.
I had to come home and tell you, like, oh, you know, I had a pickle. She said, I told you in the first conversation that all of our sandwiches had a pickle. I just had to hear it.
I told her. I said, you just unravel it. And yeah, I said, I don't know. And I think I remember telling her, like, I don't know why you don't have a pickle, but like, we usually wrap the pickle this whole time.
We're unraveling it.
My fucking God. Wrap this fucking story up about this goddamn pickle.
Like, I ate that bitch still.
Of course you did. Fucking idiot, bro. God. It's giving the good pickle, but not, you know, the bad pickle from SpongeBob. All I see is pickle. Just, goodness gracious.
When the guy hit a pickle with his tongue and SpongeBob said...
I was talking about the actual pickle guy who was being mean to SpongeBob and Patrick.
I know.
Between a pickle or a cactus? Actually, on a second thought, I mean, he didn't have any prickly things on him. But, all right, y'all, we're wrapping up this segment. Wait a minute.